Hello. Thank you for being here now with me. Let's call this the Jargon Opera. You can hear me as Vendor. Do you have those times when you find yourself in the perfect middle where you just feel that you have insight, that you're in a almost mystical state? I feel that way right now. Like insight is presenting itself to me. And that I feel both good and empty, which is, as I imagine it should be. I've been wrestling with my demons, and seeing that they are actually just part of me, and that to be aware of unspoken words and motivations of the subconscious, unconscious, is like I said, both a little euphoric and a little bit depressing, as it actually is between two towers, to be in the middle, the duality, the checkerboard, the pillars, front and the back. Only when you see that there's a reason to have something to regret, do you have the opportunity to acknowledge yourself as a whole. Otherwise, you're chasing a mirage of divine goodness. I don't know, but I do. I've been messaging new contacts on social media with an emoji prayer, hands, and a simple phrase like good, followed by a second prayer emoji. I don't know if tomorrow I will regret these, as they are so simple, but I feel that it allows a more open dialogue, at least right now, in this higher feeling I seem to be in the moment. I realize that everything has subtleness to it, and that everything is connected, the cliche statement, but when you have those moments where you witness it for a moment by seeing the subtle, it's a little spooky and a little exciting. Like, it's all true. It's all true, both the what you hoped for and what you feared. And I'm not even sure what that means. But I feel as if I have a oneness with the moment and this time, as opposed to worrying about something else, some other time that doesn't yet exist. I've unconsciously intended things to show, and that is interesting. Like, there's a painting on the mantle that there was a tissue box supporting, just kind of picking up, but the way they lined up was an unconscious, intentional alignment. You would have to see it. But they had an unexpected symmetry, or an alignment by accident. So that was interesting. I also dropped a cup of tea in a bath. And this is a nice Earl Grey that comes in these triangle-shaped tea bags. And I've been having conversations about the ancient Egypt. And so this tea bag looks a bit like a pyramid. And what I noticed was the bag floating in the tub, the very point of the pyramid had an air bubble in it. So it was as if the capstone of the pyramid was supporting the entire base, or almost pulling through the water. And I've heard ideas that the pyramids themselves were some form of an energy source, and I've heard all kinds of things like the water doesn't flow by it now, so it doesn't work. I haven't experienced it, so I can't speak on it. But I did find it interesting that with that shape, the air bubble would find itself into the very top corner of the pyramid, just like you see them laid out in Giza. So that was also an interesting accidental alignment. I've been thinking about beauty, how beauty exists on purpose in nature and in design, that beauty is a function. In fact, I would go so far as to say that beauty is a byproduct of good design. For example, World War II airplanes, the way they come together to be streamlined and flow through the air to the best of our governments and other foreign governments' understanding of aerodynamics in the 30s and 40s led to a progressive design in a rushed era where beauty was not a consideration but a byproduct of the designer's intentions to make an efficient flying vehicle and weapon, just like the katana blade of the samurai sword. Gorgeous, stunning, but the beauty came in repeating the design thousands of times, perfecting and honing the product to be as lethal and efficient of a blade as it could be. I bought a knife sharpener today. Had to return a Amazon purchase to Kohl's, and they gave me a 25% off coupon. And I browsed for a bit and tried on a couple of pair of shoes, and I didn't really feel any of them, but then realized that my pocket knife was dull. So I got a sharpener that has two sets of wheels that you run the blade through at a 90 degree angle perpendicular from the table that the sharpener would be set on. You press down into the first two discs, and with moderate pressure pull it out, and you run it through the first set of discs, they said, about four times. So I did, and then the second set of discs, the first set of discs are some metallic metal, I believe. The second discs are ceramic, I'm pretty certain. And so I ran my pocket knife through the second set of discs the same four times, and it worked really well. So I was pleased with that, as I had tried to sharpen my pocket knife with an old, what do they call it, knife sharpener, a steel, I think I heard when I was watching a YouTube on how to do it. But I'm pretty sure I dulled the knife more than I sharpened it with the simple blade. So having a more efficient system was beautiful, because my pocket knife is sharp again. So beauty by design. We were designed, we are God's creatures. And sometimes I can see that there is beauty in everyone and every moment. But nature, it's abundantly clear when you just take a moment and take it in. But I've been having, how do I put it, people who are more than the avatars appear. The other day I was out doing something with my SUV in my driveway, and there was what appeared to be a homeless woman with large cottage cheese legs, and she was dragging some sort of a bag. And I instinctually just did my rude ass brief stare, go about my business thing. And she said something to me as she was passing by, and I didn't understand it, and I basically hid behind my car when I was doing whatever the hell I was doing. But then a moment later, I looked over because she was walking down my road. She would have been headed west. And it would only have been 5 seconds. And she was just gone. And I don't believe she... I don't know where she went. I don't know if she went into a home or was some sort of figment of my imagination. So that kind of stuck out. It was just like poof. Just a moment later, she was gone. And I've been wondering about that. Like, how everything is connected. Well, does that mean that clearly we're connected to other, to more things? There's so much outside of our spectrum of vision, just color and light. And the concept of light and how deep it is, that we see just a tiny sliver of the color spectrum. In fact, we see the world upside down, they say, that our brain flips it for us to see upright because of the way the eye looks or sees the world. And those old-timey illustrations where it shows the refraction of vision through lines sure as heck looks a lot like the Luciferian logo, which is kind of interesting. But the eyes, you know, they're the window to the soul. And I believe that they're not just cameras for taking in our surroundings. No, I believe there's more to it. That they also, as much as they receive, they also send, like light from a window of a home. I've heard that whatever you gaze upon can have an effect on your energy. And I guess that's the importance of beauty. Because when we look at a mess of any variety, it's giving us bad information, bad data. That's why having a house in disarray can be so depressing, because it's the opposite of function or beauty. But when we gaze upon just the details of nature or a well-designed object, whether it be a sword or a P-51 World War II airplane, or even a classic automobile in its purest form, it's beautiful. You know, the old Ferraris, where every little detail wasn't there to look good. It just was the magic of all of the elements coming together for function that it became a beautiful object. Did you know that in the early days of car racing, that the color of the vehicle was determined by the country of manufacture? So Italy was red, which is why Ferraris have always been associated with that Ferrari or Corsa red. Britain was green, France was blue, Germany was silver. And so these have always been the signature colors. The silver Mercedes, the blue Bugatti, the apparently America had the stripes. So think of the Mustang with the racing stripes, the Shelby. But again, these weren't there because necessarily Enzo Ferrari specifically liked red cars. No, because he was supporting his country and representing his nation. It was part of the function, and it just turned out beautiful. I recently read a quote from Ralph Lauren about style versus style is basically, he was saying that style versus fashion. So paraphrasing, fashion changes, but style is permanent. And style is a byproduct of function. all of the most classic styles that keep on repeating were developed out of function, not by preference. The collar on the shirt, the pocket, the third pocket on a Levi, all of these things weren't there for style, but just the pieces coming into the whole created the beauty of it. I love thinking of these things, that a object, the simpler it is, the more beautiful it is, because it pays less attention to fashion and more on to function. Function over fashion is the pathway to beauty, perhaps. But yes, everything is connected. Things align by accident. A rut in the road happens when wheels follow the same path over and over and over again, which is why it's easy to get stuck in a rut, because it is the path most traveled, as the poem goes. So, beauty comes out of function. Beauty comes out of function. The pyramids had a function, and they are gorgeous. These are some thoughts I've thought I'd record. I enjoyed speaking them. I hope you enjoyed hearing them. You can call me Vendor. Thank you. Good evening. This is the Jargon Opera, and you can call me Terry. Saturday night. 11:11. I'm happy to have you hearing me speak to you. Want to talk about some things. Saturday gets its name because it's the day dedicated to Saturn. Each day of the week has an associated planet, except for Earth. Monday is Moon Day, Tuesday is Mars, Friday is Venus, Sunday is the Sun. Find that interesting. Just thought I'd mention it. I've been talking to a person, texting today, and we made friends online, and I've been texting him, and he's an interesting person, and he's been very kind. He's listened to me and given me actual feedback that is workable. He's a little bit older than me. I think he's about 56 or so. And he seems pretty wise. Come to find out, though, that he lives in a van, quite literally by a river. At least he said he lived in a van by a river for 5 years. And, he's living a very basic life that way. I could say he is without a lot of the things we take for granted, but he states that he prefers it that way. And I can dig it, the freedom. But freedom isn't free now, is it? He was telling me that where he has been, it was 5 degrees outside and 32 degrees in his van, which is just crazy. I couldn't even imagine. If it was 32 degrees in the house, I don't know. It would be too cold. But that's how he's living. And I suggested that he may want to head west, where it's a little bit warmer, where the weather suits his clothes, so to speak. And he said he would consider it, that where he has been, the work seems to be drying up, doing labor. And he also mentioned that he does other things, like he can airbrush and he's an artist of sorts. He's telling me about how back in the day he used to airbrush vans with those really cool 70s van art. But I told him a story about how when I was 16 I volunteered at a auto shop in my little town where I grew up. And I was there just to, it was my first job before I actually got a job where I was paid. And I just wanted to be in the environment to, you know, pick up on what it's like to have a job. It was my mom's suggestion, and it was a good one. But I didn't want to sand down all the rust on the inside of a old Ranger pickup inside the engine compartment, so that kind of ended that. And in retrospect, I should have done it, but I didn't understand the point of doing it. But I do now. You know, had I done that, they probably would have offered to pay me. But you know, vision's 2020 in retrospect. But the point is, one day this old codger hippie fella came through the door, and he made a deal with the business owner, and he restored the signage, the exterior wood sign. And I watched him as he did it. He took it off of its two posts and he brought it into the shop. And it was one of those signs that was like engraved into the wood, but he sanded down the surface so that it was fresh, and using the original graphics and the lettering, he made it new. He made it beautiful. He had a new color and vibrancy to it. And I talked to him for a while he was there, and he showed me his photo album he had of work he had done all across the country, different signs, murals. And it left a real impression on me, because he lived out of his, it looked like one of those, you know, bread delivery box vans, one of those big ones. But that was his gig, man. He would travel to wherever he was pointed, and wherever he ended up, he'd find signs that needed his touch. And I remember the owner paid him, I don't know how much, I can't remember, I don't think I actually ever saw that number, but it really seemed romantic, the concept of a literal traveling artist. So I told this new friend of mine about that experience and how he may want to consider doing that. And who knows, maybe I will inspire something that works out for him. You know, I want the best for people, especially people who are kind. And generous with their attention. And he has been that for me, and I appreciate it, honestly. It's, you know, interesting. Attention. It's the most valuable thing on this planet now. I may have mentioned this before, but I recently heard that companies like Google and Facebook and all the socials, we know that they make their money from advertising, but their commodity is your attention. And we may have heard about all of the different things that are unpleasant about that, how the forward-facing camera is always on Facebook, and they're just watching the world while we walk around with these phones in our hands. Where we're going, what we're doing, and all of that. If you haven't seen that Netflix movie, I recommend The Social Dilemma, as they go into details. Without going much further, it's pretty scary how much they collect, and by how much, I mean everything. Every last moment. But the point is, what they're selling is us. This data mining, what that means is all of our attention is what gives these giant companies, these powerful, relatively new companies, so much power, is our attention. Because they know us so well that they can put the product in front of the user that they're going to be much more likely to buy than any other form of advertising. It's laser focused, pinpointed on the individual and their interests and needs. And for a business, that is gold. Knowing their customer and putting their product right in front of the person most likely to buy. And then the concern comes from, who is the business, right? You know, who are they selling this information to? And they value our privacy. That's some bullshit. They value our attention. The power of intention. Intention, attention. That's the difference, is attention versus intention. When I was younger, I was diagnosed with attention deficit disorder. I have trouble focusing on the teacher's lecture, or when my wife starts talking too long, and I'm working on it. They no longer give me the speed that I utilize to get through junior high and high school. If it had not been for those meds, I wouldn't have ever finished. I just have trouble keeping on track and giving my attention to things that I'm not necessarily interested in. But I'm working on that. I want to focus harder on the things that matter, the things that are important in my life, because it's surprising to me how quickly life passes, and disappointed in myself how I didn't do X, Y, and Z, that I didn't sand out that Ford Ranger engine bay and put my attention into it versus doing the path that was more comfortable, living in the rut of my habits and my attention going to where, going inside of that engine bay and getting my hands dirty versus watching whatever was on the stupid TV. And I suppose I could put blame on whatever, you know, but I do have a bit of, I don't want to use the word resentment, but I wish someone had really painted a picture for me of the need for my participation and the reasons why. It's dawned on me how many things over the years were expected of me to just know, but I can't recall ever being told. And I try to pass these on to my children, the reasons for this and that, why your attention is important and why it makes a difference, because we are the sum of all of our decisions and actions or inaction. And I can tell you, I feel internally I'm the same person I've always been, whether I was 10 or 40. It's just my body gets older, and I've heard that that's the way it is all the way till the end. That, you know, 100-year-old man is still his mother's son. And I'm now 41 and trying to make up for lost time, in my heart at least. But with the way the world is today, it's difficult to know where to put your attention, where the future lies, where the best way to focus my attention is to prevent the most FOMO, the least fear of missing out. But generally these things, by the time you hear about it, it's already too late. And so anymore, I give up, you know, I give up on caring about the things I don't have control over. And I suppose in some ways that could be considered maturity, being defeated by regret. I don't know how much I can justify that statement, but I do know that they say everything happens for a reason. Well, I've been through some life, and despite myself, no matter how much I tried to avoid it and substitute real experiences with forced experiences by drinking and partying, all the same, life happened, and I don't think it's too late. I think that I still have time, as I am still my mother's son, and I'm not even 100. But I've been toying with the idea, or a thought I had a while back, and it's something I wrote down, was simply make today tomorrow's nostalgia. Because the time's going to pass, but all we have is right here and now.
What are you going to do with it? And it's difficult for me to know where beyond my family to put my attention. Where should I be investing this valuable commodity of mine? I have observed that it seems that the harder I try, the harder it gets. And I've heard that if something's too hard, then it isn't for you. That the pathway to success should be fun, that it should come easily. It should, you know, follow your passion. Well, I can't speak on that because I'm not certain yet what my passions are. And the things that I've always pursued, I've put down. So now I've got a clean slate, a open table. But I can't force it. It feels like if I had a laser sharp direction of what to do, that it may, I would take comfort in that, but I don't. You know, there's so much uncertainty in my own mind of where the future is and where to invest my attention and time that it's hard for me to see the forest from the trees, that I get overwhelmed. But I listened to a presentation of sorts on a Zoom call today, and they were talking about how to be more efficient and how to make the most of your time. And one of the things they said was just focus on the next 24 hours. What can you do to be productive over the next 24 hours? Don't worry about tomorrow, next week, month, or year. Just what are you going to do today? And I like that. When you just put your focus on right now instead of the future. And for me, that means writing stuff down and looking on a piece of paper. Having that piece of paper is writing a contract with myself that these are the items of importance. And that gives me a little bit more clarity than I have otherwise. And every time I write a list, funny thing is that I scratch items off of the list that I probably wouldn't have otherwise. So that's a hot tip right there. Write to-do lists. I know, right? Boom. But I'm not sure what the future has in store for me. But I do know that I am going to make an effort to use my valuable attention. I already deleted all of my social media after, you know, it's just gotten ugly. You know what I mean? Like, I quit Facebook in December, and we're now in March, and I just didn't like what friends and family members had to say about this or that between the election and the COVID and the this and the that and the division and the breaking down of what seems normal to me. And, you know, it's sad, but people have just really gotten very militant about a lot of things. And to me, a lot of this emotion that they're putting into things, to me, feels like a big fucking distraction from the real issues. And if you listen to any conspiracy podcasts or whatever, they say that's all by design. Divide and conquer. You know, the Hegelian dialectic, as they say. And after having been a consumer of that genre of information for as long as I have, first of all, it just, 2020 was exactly like what people were expecting. And now it's just like we're playing out a movie. And, you know, I am just blown away about the level of tension that we've had. But this is an easy topic. This is a gimme right here, so I don't need to go into that further. You know, I don't need to empower this whole narrative with my attention. I'm going to keep on doing this as much as I am able. Get used to just talking here and laying out my thoughts. I look forward to where this could take me. And honestly, I don't expect much. But the act of doing something, even if it's talking at my phone for 30 minutes as frequently as I can, at least I've done something. You know, because each day they stack on top of each other. The days are long and the weeks are short, or something of that order. And you have to, I have to focus my attention into something beyond the entertainment that has been provided. I have to focus on building something, because the definition I have heard of happiness is progress. So, talking at this phone, for me, is some form of progress, because I'm producing something, you know? And it's got my voice, it's got my thoughts, and I'm putting them here. And I do know that the longer I practice here recording myself, the better equipped I'll be to be able to talk in front of a microphone. And I believe that once I start talking with other people in this format, that I'll be able to actually carry a good conversation that would be worth listening to. At least that's my intention. Gonna wrap it up here pretty quick, but wanted to throw out another thought I had the other day, and that was this: can you afford your opinion? Because with the way things are anymore, I'm taking the easy way out. I am not being involved. I opt out of all of it. I opted out of Facebook, and because I couldn't afford my opinion. And that's not going to that's not to mean that I have, you know, some cardinal viewpoint that is in opposition to the world. You know, I'm not racist, I'm not name-a-phobic, but at the same time, things have become so upside down to what my expectations are that it's almost a matter of bravery speaking your opinion. Because if you're really going to say what you really think, well, one thing for certain, you'll stand out, you know. And I'm fortunate enough in a position where I'm not in fear of losing my job for my opinions in this point, or, you know, the consequences for saying the wrong thing so much. But for the most part, I keep to myself. So, and it's not that I have anything far out there to say, in my opinion, but shoot, man, these days it's you guys know, the world's gone wackadoodle, and it's all by design. You know, those tinfoil hat people, they say that nothing is by accident, that all of this has been planned way in the future by the hidden hand or whatever. And that could very well be the case. All the chess pieces coming together, you know, and to knock down, well, yeah, I don't need to go further there. But anyhow, I'm pulling in on the half an hour point. This is the Jargon Opera. Thank you for listening. You can call me Vinder.